Good morning.
Before I get into this talk, I just want to share an experience that I had on Friday. It's either Thursday or Friday, but Empty Bowl had a householder retreat. I think it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So, and that the Empty Bowl is in Morristown. A lot of you have been there. And Sensei Ray and I have been friends for a long time, and sometimes he'll invite me to come and share in a retreat. And so somehow along the way, we got this idea that we should both give the talk. And so we sat two Zafus next to each other, and we each had notes. And as Jeff pointed out, it was sort of like a jazz thing. You know, went back and forth. And it was really a lot of fun. And I think it went well with the Sangha, sort of an interesting experience. So I'm going to begin with a question. And the question is, what is the place of surrender in our practice? To begin with, the word surrender is a pretty loaded word. And it's usually associated with winning and losing. And this is frequently in a military context. God forbid you have to surrender. And from this perspective, when we surrender, we have lost. We've been defeated and we become less if we surrender. But on the contrary, in the world of practice, in the world of spirituality in general, when we surrender, we actually become more. Thomas Merton writes, "We cling and clutch to the way things are and postpone our transformation. This is where so many people break down. As soon as they reach the point where they can no longer see the way and guide themselves by their own light, they refuse to go any further." This is still Thomas Merton. "But it is in this darkness that we find true liberty. It is in the surrender that we are made strong. This is the might that empties us." And in order to experience emptiness, the emptiness that we talk about over and over again, we must be willing to surrender. And from a slightly different angle, Mary Oliver writes about surrendering in her book, Thirst. She writes, "Someone I love once gave me a box full of darkness, and it took me years to understand that this too was a gift." So in essence, we stop picking and choosing and surrender to all of life, even the darkness. When I had my first house, which was in Morristown, there was an old bent apple tree which was in my backyard. And despite its craggy appearance, apples would grow on it each year. In spring, leaves would appear, as well as blossoms. And soon infant apples would show up. And over the course of several months, the apples would grow actually to full size. And when they reached a certain size and weight, the apples would fall to the ground, only to be eaten by deer or other critters that came out of the woods behind our house. But the apples didn't struggle unnecessarily with their existence or their fate. They simply surrendered to the lives they were genetically prescribed. So they surrendered. They didn't fight this process, this unfolding. So Zen practice calls on us to surrender as well. Whether we are counting our breath, watching our breath, doing shikantaza or koan study, we are letting go of our desires, our wishes, projections, and ideas about the world, and surrendering to this present moment, to things as it is, as Suzuki Roshi often said. In none of these cases are we losing or becoming less by having surrendered. In fact, through surrender, we inherit the universe. Now, most of us would not disagree with the importance of surrender in our practice. Nevertheless, however, many of us find it difficult to do. And this may be because deep inside us, there is a voice that represents, that speaks for fear. The fear of letting go. The fear of entering into the unknown. Of course, this is only natural, as we are being asked to give up the only way of being in the world that we have ever known. This way of being is familiar, it's safe, and it allows us to feel like we are in control. And we heavily identify with this way of being. And this way of being is what we call the self. It's who we think we are. Because we are so attached to this identity, the voice keeps telling us, don't let go, don't surrender, don't trust the unknown. Yet it's this very self to which we are attached that keeps us separate from transcendence, from the realization of our true nature. Just think about it for a minute. Sometimes that voice is there and we're not even aware of it. But somewhere in ourselves, when we get to this edge, we get to the edge of the cliff, and we have to surrender and fall off, there is fear. I know that was certainly the case in my own practice. At the same time, there's another voice. And this voice, I think, is really at the core of our being. And this is the voice that knows that we are estranged and disconnected and longs to be reunited with this great universe. It longs to be whole, connected, and complete. So there's this polarity that exists. And it's a polarity that must be mediated. And to do this, we must acknowledge this fearful part of ourselves, listening intently to find out what it needs to allow us to make that leap of faith and surrender into the universe. Right? Listen to it. Don't put it in a box. Don't categorize it. Just bear witness to this voice that wants to surrender. And also listen to the voice of fear. And I think one of the things that comes up if we do that is we realize that they're really not in opposition. They are both part of the way. So this listening intently allows us to make that leap of faith and surrender. Not pushing this aspect of ourselves away, but embracing it, loving it, reassuring it of what we know in our depths. To surrender is actually the greatest gift that this practice has to offer. Reconciling these inner voices is the last step we take, that leap of faith, which is a surrender into the unknown. So it's the last step we take before we make that jump off the cliff. And if you think about it, right? If you think about jumping off the cliff, I think most of us would be damn scared. But the cliff is just a metaphor. But if we take it literally, it scares the shit out of us, if you pardon the expression. Now, this process of getting to the edge of the cliff and letting go and surrendering into something that's totally unknown is what is referred to as the dark night of the soul. So I guess my last words are, don't be afraid to jump. Thank you.